بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Every person has to go through two trials after this life. One is in the qabr, that's the first trial. And then the second trial is in the hereafter, in the plains of Hashar. The difference between both the trials, that in the qabr you aren't able to speak a lie. What was within you will come out exactly in the hereafter. There will be total conformity with the inside and what you express. If you had not been believing in Allah Ta'ala, then you will say it. You could have learned the answers 101 times over, but you didn't have that belief, so you will not be able to express it. For such a person then, his misery, his trouble, his problems, continuous, perpetual. There's no end to his problems. Just thinking of one statement Hazrat Jee Ramzai made in between, I'll just bring it. The statement is now ringing in my mind. They say that a few rakats of an arif, person who knows Allah Ta'ala, is better than thousands and thousands of rakats of a non-arif. The man is working so much, and this person worked so less. But yes, and he is gaining so much more. So the whole idea is to gain in the hereafter. So why is this level of disparity? Here, two rakats, and here it's a million rakats. Arif ki do rakat, ghair arif ki lakh rakat se behtar hai. Hazrat is quoting this from Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So the source is reliable. So why is the level of disparity? So this level of disparity is on account of the fact that, see, in life there's two. In this life, I spoke about the qabr and the hereafter. In this life, then a man goes through two trials, right? Sometimes it's prosperity and affluence, goodness all around. So the trial in that is to be making shukr, be thankful, grateful, appreciative, right? And then you will get situations of difficulty, hardship, constraints, constriction. So in those constraints, etc., then you will be patient. You will not ask Allah Ta'ala, why this thing have to happen to me? Of all people, why did I get into this problem, difficulty? Why could he be so prosperous and why could this be to me? So now when this question of why comes in, that means you are not behaving in conformity with patience. The reason why this thing happened is known best by Allah Ta'ala. Yes, in this trial, what Allah wants of me, that's what I need to know. He brought about a problem, but within that problem, what does he want of me? Not why did the problem come to me. I fell into debts, problems, trouble, fights, disputes. So now, one is to try and work out why have these problems have fallen on to my lap. According to deaths, problems, accidents, someone passed away. So these problems, why have they come on to me? So to ask this type of a question, now this goes totally against the grain. Allah Pak doesn't like it. Yes, what you need to say and ask yourself, it's within this trial, within this constraint, what am I supposed to be doing? What is supposed to be my behavior? Not why has this come unto me? Allah Ta'ala chooses Yakhtar, he chooses. Whatever he chooses for whichever person, he knows why he chose this type of a life for that person, this type of a life for this person. There wasn't a coincidence in his plan. In our understanding, there's a coincidence. It's happened, right? Overnight, a person won 1 billion rand. Coincidence. But in his plan, there's no coincidence. It was planned, destined. You're supposed to get it at this time, at this place, and this hour. You got it. Right? So there is no coincidence. It happened, it was decreed, it happened, couldn't be otherwise. So, in the face of a trial, what are you supposed to be doing? One is to be patient with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak knows why He's done this. One person sees from a distance a deer coming to a well, right? And the level of the water of the well just raises up to the surface. The thing drinks, and it turns and goes away. And after it's gone away, he's reached the well, and the level of the water just drops again. So he cries out to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, kya mera maqam is hiran ke barabar bhi nahi hai. I don't even have any acceptance in your presence. For this deer, you could raise up the levels. When I came up, the thing went right down. You see? So you want to know now why that person 100,000, you're 2,000. He's 100. That person is happy. You did it. So it's a great thing. It's a blessing that you have done it for me in this way. So he's happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. That's called Ridha bil Qadha. Yasaluka Ridha bil Qadha. Your decision I'm happy with. I'm not complaining about. Yes, you ask for ease. No problem in asking for ease. But to complain, why did this happen to me? That Allah Pak doesn't like. Yes, you are in a predicament. You are looking for a way out. Sick, you're going to a doctor. Sick, got a headache, I'm going. But you're not complaining that why this headache had to come to me. Why this problem had to come to me. That is not a complaint. So this Ridha bil Qadha, is happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala, is such a great thing. That person's 2 rakats is more virtuous than this person's 100,000 rakats. Oh, my business took a knock again. That person is filled with it. He's a kafir, first class kafir, and he's making so much. And I am going to problems after problems. So the divine plan, Allah Ta'ala knows why he's done this for that person and this for this person. He knows. Are you Allah Ta'ala to decide and choose why it happened to me? One person is in the throes of death, you see. Kafir, non-Muslim, outright, right throughout his life, in disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Now, just before his death, he desired for some fish. That fish is now in Malawi, Chambo fish. You talk to any Malawi and say, hey, it's Chambo fish, you can't get anywhere in the world. So excellent, so tasty, right? So that fish was in Malawi, perhaps, right? And he had been craving for that just before his death. So Allah Ta'ala ordered this fish, ordered some malaika to bring that fish into his waters, fishermen to catch it and sell it to him. It happened exactly. He wanted that fish prepared in a certain style, prepared everything. He ate it, and then in three or four minutes he passed away. So that was his desire, and Allah fulfilled his desire, and then he left. On the contrary, now you've got a Muslim. The Muslim has been in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala throughout his life. Namaz, zikr, tilawat, jamaat, ta'lim, zikr. Throughout his life he's doing all the right things. Now, it's around the time of his death, and there is some water on the bedside, but he doesn't have the strength to bring, to pull out that water. Gradually he tries, now it's towards his end, but he's thirsty. So as he's going to reach the water, the thing slips out of his hand, it falls, and he dies in thirst. The malaika asking Allah Ta'ala, this person was your outright disobedient enemy, and for him you made all the arrangements for that fish to come to his waters and serve to him in the style that he wants, not to die until that fish is not served to him. And this person was in your total disobedience. Right? And you made all the arrangements for him. The other one was absolutely all the time in your obedience. His last wish was nothing fabulous, nothing great. Just that water that was on the bedside, that thing, he wanted to drink it. But you didn't allow him to have a sip of the thing, and his ruh was taken away in the state of thirst. So Allah, we can't question your wisdom. Wisdom is beyond our comprehension. But it's just a matter of curiosity, we want to know why. We become curious, the malaika become curious. We also want to know. Like we have ikhtilaf, the malaika also have ikhtilaf. We have differences of opinion. Malaika also have differences of opinion. Right? And we become curious, so the malaika also become curious. Why? There must be some wisdom. But what's the wisdom? Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted to know, كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَ اللَّهُ بَقْرِ This whole process of bringing back to life, now how does it happen? So in order to clear our mind, not his mind, Allah Pak asks him, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ Are you not believing? No. This is not a question. Probably I want to see how it happens. We know that you do it, but how it happens. So when I know how it happens, then I'll be at ease. Alright, this is how it happens. This goes together with this, this goes together with this, and then it's constructed. Right? You saw that engineer, for example, you know he constructed the plane, for example. But I saw that thing working and how it's moving, challenging the clouds, right? Yeah, how you got this thing? Not that you doubt his integrity, but you want to know how he did it. So your answer is 100%, but you must know how it happened. So to clear our minds, that Ibrahim had any doubt in his yaqeen, Allah Pak says, awalam tu'min. So that our minds are cleared, that he didn't have any doubts, but just he wanted to see how it happens. So this curiosity can come into the mind of the malaika, into our minds, even the mind of a Nabi. Hazrat Yahya al-Islam is in his old age, and Zakariya al-Islam is in his old age, Allah is blessing him with a child, right? How will I get this child? My wife is barren, I'm old age. How is it going to happen? So he's trying to figure it out. What's going to happen? I'm going to marry again? Or what's going to happen? How is it going to work? Is one child going to come from the heavens? So Allah can use any way to bring about a situation. But how is it going to happen? فَلَكَ ذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ He does as he pleases. In this very state you will get the child. So this curiosity can get into any person's mind. So this malaika also asking Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala, why did this happen? So Allah Ta'ala says, the malaika, you see this disbeliever, right throughout his life he was in disobedience. He had one good deed in him. And I didn't want to keep anything in the hereafter for him. I wanted to square and settle his account in this life. So how do I square and settle his life? He had one desire, I fulfilled his desire. So he did some good, so I settled him. Kafir leader did some good, so he had a good publicity at his funeral, right? A lot of people spoke about him. This type of fund was created. So there were a lot of praises and applause given to that kafir for the good that he has done. But if his account is settled in this world here, nothing carried forward. Nothing transferred to the next world. Everything is settled in this life. See that? So he did something good, and I can't transfer anything because he doesn't have the means to transfer. You know, transfer it in that the hereafter is going to get jammed. That EFT is not going to go through. The hereafter is not going to go, that EFT is not going to go through. It's going to get jammed there. Here the fiqh will pick him up. Here the malaika will pick him up. The thing is not working. This is uplang. It's not working. It's not going through. See how the fiqh is picking it up here. Here the malaika are picking it up. This thing can't go through. So no matter what he did, but it's not going through. We have systems here to see that money is legal or illegal. So the malaika also have some credentials to work out, some gauges to work out, whether this thing can go through or can't go through. So they will stop it in the tracks. Can't go through. Stop it. Khalas. But Allah Ta'ala is most just. Right? The man did some good, or let's settle him in this world. He did something. He wanted, he craved for a fish. Let us give it to him and settle his account full. And then when he steps into the hereafter, there's only problems for him. Nothing but difficulties. And as for that mu'min who longed and desired for that glass of water that was just on his bedside, so his whole life was in sawab, in obedience, in righteousness, in virtue. Whole life. One, two places he slipped up. So in the hereafter, we didn't want to have any problems for him. No difficulty, no problems. All the immigration must just open up for him. The green carpet and the red carpet must be rolled out for him. He must just step in, and there's a red carpet treatment. He's moving straight. That the escalators take him straight to the highest level of Jannat. So we want to pay him one shot as he comes into us, and we want to give him, we want to pay him straight. But now then he had something to settle. Some one, two problems we had now, we were to carry it for the hereafter. He did good, and then he slipped up here and there, made a mess up one, two places. But then we want to favor him as well. Now somehow we had to settle the account. So we punished him in that way, that he is craving for that water, he was thirsty for that water, and we didn't allow him to have it. And he died in that state. So his account was settled here. Whatever debts he had, whatever things he had to settle, all were settled. As he steps into the hereafter, then it's joy upon joy, good upon good. So this person complains to Allah Ta'ala that I am so insignificant, I am lesser than this deer. This deer, you brought the water right to the top level, right to the surface. And when I had to come in, then you dropped it down. He's complaining to Allah Ta'ala. See, now this Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. Don't complain. He knows why. Why he's done it, he knows it. Yes, so in the situation, what must I do? How must I conduct myself? What I should be doing? These are things that I need to know. But why it happened? Why he died? And why I lost so much? And why I fell into debts? If it wasn't an error, one is you are extravagant. You're just doing things randomly, right? That you need to go for some counseling and some guidance. And one is it happened without your volition and choice. Without your choice. You were driving smoothly. Someone came and knocked you from behind and there was some death. Someone passed away. So it was no fault of yours. It was not within your volition. غير اختياري, right? So when this problem came in without your choice, now what are you supposed to be doing? Now leave it to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala knows why he did it, Allah Ta'ala knows. You're not supposed to be questioning why did this situation come to me? Why not to that person and how? Why did Allah Ta'ala do this to me? Do I deserve this type of a treatment? Someone died, Allah Ta'ala only found my child to take away. Ramadan months come, yeah. Looks like Allah is there's some shortage, you know. The shortage of his provision, therefore, na'uzubillah, he's asked us to fast. So don't ask these questions. Why he's done it, he's controlling, he's ruling, it is his land. The whole thing belongs to him. Allahi maafi samawati wal maafi al-ard. We read this often, but we think it's only for the Qabristan. Allahi maafi samawati wal maafi al-ard. Yasin is only for the person that is dying. That's how we think. There one person, poet of India, so he came for Taraweeh namaz. So he's telling one person, you know that one surah, you know, you don't even say Yasin, but he's dreading to say the word Yasin. You know that one surah they read for the dead, you know. So when that thing is about to come, just ask me, just tell me, so I won't come to the masjid on that day. Because he feels like if I'm going to listen to that surah, I'm going to die. So Surah Yasin is not only for the dead. To read at the dying time, that's not the main time. The main time is to listen and understand what is the lesson in Surah Yasin. Not just to understand, but then to ponder. Alright, Allah says, Subhanalladhi khalaqal azwaja kullaha wa ayatul lahumul layl naslakhu minhu nahar fal yawma la tuzlamu. Sometimes talking about his qudrat. Sometimes he's talking about Jannat, sometimes he's talking about Jahannam, sometimes he's talking about the day of Qiyamah. So am I reflecting on the contents? Or am I just reading it as a formality that is supposed to be read on the deceased? Is that the case? So what the Surah Yasin was and how did we reduce it? What it was and how did we reduce it? So insignificant, only for the dead person, read Surah Yasin finished. That was the whole heart of the Quran Sharif, and we confined it for a dead person. I say, is that fair to Surah Yasin? So this person says, so some people's reasoning, it goes off. That's why, you know, that reasoning and analogy is not for everybody. One person said, you know, I heard the bayan, that the moment you see the moon, then the roza becomes for us. Man kana minkum, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُمْ سُمُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ سُمُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ. You see it, you must fast. So the fasting is connected to sight, right? So now he heard the bayan, fasting is connected to the sighting of the moon. So he said, مَنْ تَوْ چَانْ دَيْكُنْغَا هِي نَيْ. Seriously, چَانْ تُوْ دَيْكُنْغَا هِي نَيْ. I won't see the moon at all. So if I don't see the moon, then fasting won't be for us, for me. Ramadan started off. I said, no, I'm not going to go out of the house. The moment I'm going to step out of the house, I will see the moon. When I see the moon, then roza becomes for us. So I'm not going to see the moon at all. See that? Sumu liyati. He's explaining the hadith according to his own understanding. Now he stays inside the house or coming out of the house. One day passed. Now, obviously, Peshab, Penap, Pani, all that, he has to go make all these things here. Yeah? Istinja, number one, number two. He's missing the house. In the old days, the toilet used to be outside, a bit of a distance away. So, he is messing up inside the house. Now, one day, second day, I say, hey, you ne pure makan ko sara diya. You made the whole house rotten here. Your filth is this side here, filth is that side. What do you think about this house? Why is he making a noise? The second day, he had too much, why is shouting too much? He had to leave the house. So now, he's going and he's very afraid. He mustn't look on top. If he looks on top, he'll see the moon, the Ramzan becomes for us. The whole roza becomes for us, looking down. But as he's looking down, he has to pass the lake. And in the lake, he saw the reflection of the moon. Hey, now I had it. Main toh tujhe dekhta hi nahi, I'm not looking at you. Lekin tune mere aankhon ke andar ghus gaya. You have pushed yourself into my eyes. See? So you can't question the authority of Allah Ta'ala. He said it, but that's enough. Yes, under the circumstance, what must I do? He's made it. Now I must do something. What must I do? If you can think and reason, you'll think and reason. Otherwise, you go and make mashwara. You'll have these two classes of people. One is a class of person that can reason. You know, we're talking about the qabr. We'll come to this story again just now. Talking about the qabr. Right? As the kafir is being interrogated, he doesn't know the answers. Because the answer is not dependent on how much you learned it. Like in an exam, you learn the paper and you get it 100%, right? There is not about how much you learned it. How much is the reality of that within you? You said, La ilaha illallah, so do you believe in it? Do you practice it? Do you practice it and do you believe in it? But if you're saying La ilaha illallah, you learn the answers, but it's not being, you're not applying it to your life, you don't have that conviction, nor do you apply it to your life, then that answer can't come out of your tongue. When that answer won't come out, then what will you say at that point? So the answer that you will give at that point will be, ha, ha, la adri. Kafir, who didn't believe, he say, ha, ha, la adri. And the person that didn't know a word of Arabic, he will say it right. He was applying it and he was convinced. He didn't know anything. No Arabic he knew. But he applied that La ilaha illa in his life and he was convinced. So he's applying it and he's going to say it rightly. This person, he didn't apply it. He learned the answers very well. He applied it. No. He was convinced about it. No. So no application. Now this is what has happened to the Quran Sharif today. It's like a cultural, everybody will come after this. But you apply the Quran Sharif in your life. Imagine now, you are sitting and reciting a qiraat, right, in a whole wedding time, and someone is reciting the Quran Sharif. Qari Sahib is called, come to the stage, he'll offer one qiraat. Alright. Audience, men, women, all mixed up, and he's given a qiraat. What is reciting? قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Men, oh men, you must lower your gazes. And the men are looking at the woman, and the woman looking at the men, right? Isn't that a mockery of the Quran Sharif? You're saying the Quran Sharif, you're citing the Quran Sharif, يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Saying the woman, يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lower your gaze. Telling the woman, lower. You're saying to the men, lower your gaze. The Qari Sahib is seeing it, but the Qari Sahib is looking and enjoying himself. And the men are enjoying themselves, women are enjoying themselves. So what's left of the Quran Sharif? La yabqa min al-Islami illa rasmuhu. It is just the formality of Islam that's left. That essence is gone. The essence of Islam is gone. The essence was truth, it was honesty, sincerity. That was Islam. But now you just got the words of Islam. I say to the boys, you know, sometimes, mashallah, you'll dress up very well, in front of the mirror, you'll put the amama. Take you 10 minutes to put it, to see now, it's which style now, Sheikh Saadi style, Jamaat style, this style, which style it is. But how much of that amama life is within you? It's good to be dressing up as a Muslim, alright? That's better than not being dressed as a Muslim at all. That's very good. But Islam doesn't end up there. You feel, no, the presentation is the best, most important thing. More than the presentation is what you've got there. You've got the cake and you've got a very good presentation. But there's no sugar inside, no taste inside. Kya kaam, kis kaam ka? If you have a little lesser presentation, but it's done tasty, enjoyable, maybe you won't fetch the best price, but you'll get a good price. So, la yabqa min al-Islami illa rasmu. What's left of Islam is just the formality. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If a mullah will beat a mullah, say, the first statement was in Mizaj Sharif, then the whole discussion will be in English after that for 2 hours. So, what makes you a mullah? Mizaj Sharif kaisi hai, alhamdulillah, khuda ka shukar hai. And then after that, the whole discussion is in English. See, la yabqa min al-Islami illa, it's just a formality now. Just a formality. The essence of it is lost. So this kafir at the grave, what he will say, ha ha la. So malaika that are interrogating them, officers that are interrogating, what will they say? They'll say, la dareita wa la talaita. Bukhari Sharif it comes, Mishkat Sharif it comes, la dareita wa la talaita. You didn't take the pains to understand it, la dareita. You should have understood what was your whole reason to be out in this world. You should have tried and worked out. You worked out the reason for you to go to school, learn, get money. You worked out the reason, took all the pains. You know, I must earn so that I can be financially stable, secure. You worked out the reason, so you worked so hard. 20 years of your life, you dedicated for pet and material security, right? Pet security and material security, 20 years of your life you gave. So you worked out now the need for you to work hard. Because if you're going to work hard, then you'll have all these things secure. Right. But you didn't work out the need for the qabr security. When you didn't work out the need for the qabr security, now as the malaika are asking you, you've got no questions. You've got no answers. When you've got no answers, so they're shouting you, they're reprimanding you, saying, la dareita. You didn't take the pains to find out. What is the qabr about? How difficult is it? Will they be like here? We're enjoying an aircon, right? On a hot day, on a cool day, we've got a heater, right? We've got sunshine, we've got food, we've got association, company, keep us all going, keep us all cheered up, right? We've got lights, right? In the darkness, we've got some light. So we've got everything, every facility to make us comfortable. So, did you understand that there is a life in the cupboard? If you understood that there was a life, then what preparations, what arrangements you made? Did you think about it? Or do you think about it? Do you ponder about it? What's going to bring about that comfort there? So the malaikat are shouting you, why? La darita. You didn't take the pains to understand this. That means you didn't take out the time to think about it, make fikr about it. You took out the time to make that fikr. I got this consignment of 1 million. How must I send it out? Make that fikr, isn't it? You took out the time to make fikr with all your partners. Okay, we need to do this assignment here and the business must run. How do we do it? How do we go about doing it? We had all that fikr, all that mashwara. Took out all the time. We know November, December is coming and the sales are coming in. So what to stock in? We made all the fikr, we got everything right. All the fikr was done. But Qabr is coming. What fikr we made? What preparations? What concern? So the malaika are interrogating you. What fikr you made? Did you think about this? Nazareta. You didn't worry about this. So the one that is learning Arabic today also, is just learn something, formality, I know it, I can give a bayan. My bayan is very impressive. MashaAllah. Anything beyond that, is there anything beyond a formality? La dareita wa la talaita. Like that kafir, it was just a formality to learn the questions. Now for us, it's just a formality to learn the hadith, to understand it so. But to apply it and to be convinced about the message of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are we taking the pains to see that we are applying it and convinced? See that the common illat, the common factor, common denominator between us and that kafir. He also learned the hadith. We also learnt it. But like he is not applying it, are we also guilty of not applying it? So when you're guilty, then this is how they're going to respond. La darita. You didn't take the pains to find out. La darita, to understand this. And the second thing that the malaika is going to reprimand you for, wala talaita. Alright, you were of a weaker understanding. When you were weaker understanding, then you didn't have the decency to go and find out and follow from someone. You should either found out yourself, understand, or just find out from someone. You were so weak in your intelligence, in your reasoning, you couldn't figure it out yourself. So then, alright, in this world, you have a situation. When you're not capable of handling a situation, you call someone. You can't fix the stove, then you ask help from an electrician, right? Can't fix the fridge, you ask help from a technician or someone. So in this world, you asked for help, you followed someone. So why didn't you follow someone then? Impressing upon us that the standard of taqleed is also acceptable in the qabr. Wala talaita, you didn't follow. Talaita means tulu. Tulu is to follow, right? When tulu is to follow, then if you didn't know it, then you should follow someone. You got the four imams. Very valid hadith, you follow one of the five, six imams. Then why didn't you follow one of the four imams? If you could understand it, very good. But if you couldn't understand it, then why didn't you follow? So you're not following and you can't understand. So you're not here, you're not there. You either understand it yourself or either follow someone. But you're not following and you're not taking the pains to understand it. You've gone off both ways. So in deen, this is what is required. Either we have that ability to understand things, grasp things. Otherwise, then we just follow someone. But this swinging in between, not taking the pains to find out ourselves, and not taking the pains to follow someone, really, both, you're not here, you're not that side. Sometimes you're taking a chance on this side, sometimes you're taking a chance on this side. So you are then eligible for this reprimand of the malaika, la dareita wa la talaita. So either you try to take the pains and find out, or you follow, one of the two. The swinging in between, it can't work. Deen is not speculation. What has happened to us today, is we feel that deen is a speculation. Take a chance, it'll happen, it'll work out. No, it's not about speculation. There's a whole, deen ka ek pura nizam hai, there's a whole administration of deen, whole system. From the time you get up, from the time that you are born, right to the time that you are dead, till you are in the qabr, there's a whole arrangement, a whole process, a whole procedure that you have to follow. There isn't a department of your life that deen hasn't regulated and shown you. Shown you everything. When it's shown you everything, then why didn't you follow the formula? That's what the malaika are shouting about. So this person complains to Allah Ta'ala, am I so insignificant that this deer, for the deer you raised the whole level, and for me you brought it right down. So am I so insignificant in your sight? So Allah Ta'ala's reply to this person was, the deer doesn't have a string, it doesn't have a bucket. So it comes to the well for water. And then it goes thirsty, you know. Isn't it not going to be a good sight? You have a bucket, you have a string. You can lower the bucket and draw the water. But nonetheless, you have complained today. So we'll raise the level of the water to your height so that you can drink with comfort. He's gone back to Makkah. He meets up with Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi. So Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, says to him, agar tu sabar kar jata, to pani ke chashme aapke kadmo ke niche se poorthe. Had you only been patient, then you would have had springs of water gushing under your feet. So a little bit of patience. This world, the predicament we are in, we need to understand and determine whether it's a predicament of shukr or whether a predicament of sabr. One of the two is going to happen. Favorable or unfavorable. Unfavorable, then understand what sabr requires. How do you apply the sabr in that situation? If it's favorable, then how do you apply the shukr? Both are important. Shukr is also important and sabr is also important. And at any given time, you're going to be either in a favorable condition or an unfavorable condition. How do you apply yourself at the time of a favorable condition, unfavorable condition? How do you apply yourself? Now this is why that person's two rakat namaz is so valuable. He doesn't complain. He's so thankful to Allah Ta'ala. Now look at your situation. Person comes for job, right? So he's unprofessional, so you paid him 200 rand for the day, right? And he's professional, so you paid him 2000 rand for the day. Now this person complains to the boss, you know, I work so hard. I come and open up, I sweep, I do so much of hard work. And at the end of the day, I only get 200 rand. This person, he comes here at his own time, 10 o'clock he comes, and he knocks off at about 4 o'clock, and you pay him 2,000 rand for the day. Does he qualify for that money? You know, you're not fair. So the boss knows that this person is only worthy of 100 rand. He's paying him 200 rand. But he's being so unappreciative that he may just lose the job. Your condition, you're not supposed to be complaining. You're supposed to be thinking, what are you supposed to be doing under the circumstance? Ibrahim bin Azam rahmatullahi is coming towards the evening. As the evening is approaching, he sees a masjid at the distance. He said, I'll go and rest there for the night. So as he comes into the masjid, he sees on Mullah Sahib there, not Mullah Yusuf Mullah now, everything on Mullah Sahib. Mullah is, in those days, used to be a teacher or a person that spends more time in the masjid. So they call him a Mullah. So he saw Mullah Sahib there, and the Mullah Sahib saw Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi. So he says to him, you know what? Kadri your namaz, then you must move. Can't stay here. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah was a king, and he left the kingdom of Afghanistan for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. He said, no, I leave the senior. I want to dedicate myself to Allah Ta'ala. So more or less he made out what was going through this person's mind. The thing that was going through his mind was that just now he may get some food, right? And that food may be just sufficient for him. Now if I come and live here for the night, I'll stay over for the night, then he's afraid that he'll have to share the food with me. So ek aadmi ka khana dono ke liye kis tarah se kafi hoga? Food for one person, how can it suffice two people? So you read your namaz and you move, you chuck. So Ibrahim bin Adham says to him, you know what? I just came to perform namaz. I'll stay here, but I won't share in your food, don't worry. Your food you keep to yourself. I'm not going to ask you for the food. I won't even indicate that I need some of your food. Meanwhile now, this Mullah Sahib, he got his food. His two rotis and some curry, whatever he had. So that used to come from Allah Ta'ala, from the ghaib he used to get. So he enjoyed his food. And he turned on the opposite direction. Ibrahim mustn't get a chance to even see what he's eating. So no interruption. In the meanwhile, a few moments had passed. Now, this Mullah Sahib is seeing a whole entourage of people coming in, with horses and all that, right? And trays of food. And the whole masjid is filled with the aroma, zafran, and the taste, and the enjoyment. So he's complaining to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, kya mera maqam itna gira hua hai, I'm so insignificant that he is getting so much of food, so much of varieties, not what he's getting. And I'm serving you, and I'm just getting this ordinary simple food, dar chawal, with all his food here. And he's getting that type of varieties. Same complaint. Allah Pak doesn't like that. What Allah Pak has given you, just be thankful. He knows why he has planned this for you. And why he has planned for him, he's planned this for him, he knows. Why he's planned it, he knows. Be some himself for some occasions. That some people I give them wealth when spoils of war come, then I give it to them. Though there are other people that are more virtuous and pious, I don't give these people, I give it to these people that are impious. Not because I love these people more that are impious, no. But because if I don't give them that wealth, the little iman they got, that will just collapse just now. That iman of this is being supported because of wealth. They got some wealth, so they are strong in their faith. But that wealth is gone, the iman will just collapse. So I bless them with that wealth just to support and strengthen their faith. And these people here, I've got confidence in them that they're not going to waver because of wealth, that wealth will not cause them to waver in their faith. So I entrust them to their faith and to their righteousness and to their steadfastness. They're so steadfast, they're not going to waver. These people are going to waver, so I'm going to give them more, and here I'm not going to give them. So it's not a gauge to see piety acceptance. One person was here after Maghrib yesterday. So he's complaining, I wasn't performing namaz, I wasn't dressed right and all that, and things were just working out for me. Then I joined the jamaat, and started wearing kurta, performing namaz, and the trouble, one trouble after the other, one trouble after the other. One person is going down, that thing is not working out right. So now see the question, the nature of the question. I said, that's not a gauge to see acceptance or rejection. If that was a gauge to see rejection and acceptance, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most liked person in Makkah Mukarramah. Until he went and announced his faith, when he announced his faith in the Haram, he's the most despicable person. He's battered and booted from every corner, literally. Battered, punched, hit. Until he became unconscious. So until he had not declared his faith, he was the most praiseworthy person, respectable person. Declared his faith, and now this will happen to him. Nabi Sam is the most liked person, most honorable person, most trustworthy and honest person. Every respect is the greatest. Until he says, La ilaha illallah. The more he says, La ilaha illallah, then, Tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm, alihada jama'atana. His own uncle turns around against him. And he's persecuted to the point that he's forced to leave out Makkah Mukarramah. Go and take asylum in Medina Munawwara. But you see, that was not the gauge. Unfortunately, our side, when Allah Ta'ala gives, Allah Pak likes me. That's why Allah Pak gave me. See, otherwise you think Allah Pak would have given me. He likes me. So I'm favored because Allah Pak likes me. That's how we're looking at it. So we're talking about this person here, comes to the masjid, and he sees Ibrahim bin Adham being honored in this way when he's going through this type of difficulty. So he says to Allah Ta'ala, Oh Allah Ta'ala, I don't have any position in your sight. He is being favored so much, varieties and varieties. And I am just having two rotis, a little bit of curry here. Same thing I'm having every day. So Allah Ta'ala's answer to him is, you see, before this you were an ordinary, informal laborer. And as an informal laborer, you were doing some farm work, whatever. And because of that farm work, you were getting the same type of food. Two rotis, a little bit of curry you were getting. Now you're getting a little bit more in a more respectable manner, right? And this man here came after he left the kingdom of Afghanistan with literally tons of gold, silver at his feet. He left everything and he came to my service, dedicated himself. He had thousands of attendants attending to him. He left everything and came to me. Now I will treat him differently, I will treat you differently. But if you want, right, if you are complaining about this, then I can revert you back to the former life. Go back to your former life. I can revert you. I say, I made a blunder. I slipped up. So this being pleased with Allah, Allah in the condition that He has placed you. Now we're comparing ourselves with that person and this person. Why is like this? Why is like this? Why is like this? As though it's the only thing in life, material. It comes, I'm on. It doesn't come, I'm a failure in life. Depression, I'm a failure in life. But is that the only thing that we live for? Or is there any higher ideals? I don't say it's a concern, but it's not the main concern. It's one of the concerns, right? Like, make a little bit figure. But it's not the main concern. Got a little bit, you got a little bit more today, a little bit less tomorrow. But you got something, you're moving, it's alright, continue. But to go and complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why this to me, and why this to him, and why his son is intelligent, why my son is not intelligent, why is he progressing, why am I not progressing? Keep complaining about Allah ta'ala. You think Allah ta'ala appreciates this? An ordinary simple boss, and the worker keeps complaining to him, you think he appreciates that? He doesn't appreciate it. Say, bye, you better look for another job afterwards. What is telling that? A simple person is working for you, you're going to tell him. So that's why they say this Riza bil Qada is about the highest level of sincerity. You know, any work for it to bring about any results, then the precondition is sincerity. But the highest level of sincerity is just be happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Don't complain. This complaint thing here, it will make you mad. It will bring you that depression. It will bring you that grief. But you say, oh, today is another day. Allah Pak chose this for me today. Alhamdulillah, I'm too happy for Allah Ta'ala. He's chosen this for me. It's come from Allah Ta'ala. Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, they had moved on to Medina Munawwara, migrated from India, living in India, right? Living in Medina Munawwara. So Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah came to visit them. So that day he saw Shah Ishaq Sahib, very happy, excited, two brothers, Yaqub Sahib and Maulana Ishaq Sahib, they were too happy. Exchanging some statements, cheering themselves. So he thought, you know, they were funded from India because the investments were in India and they should get the returns passed to them in Medina. Whatever is coming from the investment coming to Medina. So they thought, the investment is just turning like a gold mine. So therefore they're so happy and cheering, they're so happy, so exotic today. So I don't know how to express it to them because of the seniority. What happened? You struck a big deal in India. You're so happy and you're so excited. So now, Abna Sunana, you didn't hear. What happened? So you know, that property that we had that was bringing all the returns to us in Medina, that property was expropriated by the government. So we're so happy in the fact that now we will rely entirely on Allah Ta'ala for our rozi. Before our sight was on that property. That property is there, and that He will bring the returns. Now Allah Ta'ala gave us that opportunity. He gave us that opportunity, that blessing, to rely on Him entirely. So we're so happy with Him. You see this correct thinking, this thinking procedure, that has to be changed and adjusted. I think it's gone off. Innal insana, what is the ayat? Akramahu fa na'amahu wa na'amahu. What's the ayat? إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنُ. When Allah Pak blesses you with that, Allah Pak, you honored me now. See, now what honor I got. So your honoring is, you feel you're being honored because of wealth. And if that wealth is gone, they said, أَهَانًا. Allah Pak, you disgrace me. Where I was now, and the way I'm standing now, Allah Pak, you disgrace me. So I said, not at all. You don't understand. You don't understand anything. This is not a sign that you've been honored, and this is not a sign that you've been dishonored and disgraced. The problem is you don't understand the plan of Allah Ta'ala. You're arriving to your own conclusions. Kalla idha dukkatil ardu dakkan dakka. The real honor and respect is the day of Qiyamah. The day that you touch the grave. That day when you cover up from all sides, no way, no recourse, no asylum, no way to escape. And as you touch the grave, the malaika are greeting you. Salams from the malaika, from Allah Ta'ala. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. They're greeting you, they're making salams to you, they are laying out things for you, right? Now, if that worked out right, you got everything. But if you got all the honor here, and then as you touch the grave, and you're getting all the punishment, problems, difficulties, kya fayda? What is the good? So this is what the Quran Sharif is saying, that we missed the plot. We lost the plot. The plot was something else. The plot was the grave. That was the plot. Not that you must reserve your plot in Brook Street or wherever else. Don't reserve the plot. Understand the plot of Allah. What is the plan of Allah? Try and understand that. We think, I've got a reserve plot in Grey Street or in the Brook Street, so I'm covered. That's not the important thing. Understand the plan of Allah. What is the plan of Allah? What He wants? Allah, what do you want? And the easiest way, you know, I was explaining one person, the easiest way is, in whatever situation you are, think now, all right, what Allah wants for me? And say, for example, it was my last moment, then how I would have wanted Allah to see me? If you can think like this at every moment you own, think it's your last moment, and how will Allah like to see me? So I think the best way is, Mustaghisana, Allah, you help me out. You make out a plan for me, my deen, my dunya, my akhirat, my chin, you help me out. Every second of your life, if you can just bring you onto that conformity, you got it right.